This program is brought to you by Babaway Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri. Thank you for joining us today here on Coffee with Zach and Russ. Hello again, we do want to welcome you back to Coffee with Zach and Russ. We're continuing and going to finish our lesson looking at the Remembering the Lord in Your Youth. In the previous lessons, we looked at the need for spirituality in our youth. We looked at remove sorrow and evil from your youth. In the last lesson today, we'll be looking at the simple and maybe the more direct idea of looking at remembering God in your youth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" You know, there's a lot of things, especially when you're younger, but I think really any time in life that can distract us from what is important. And so we're reminded here to remember God always. Now think about it this way as well. I've said before that any plans that we make need to make sure we consider God. You know, we talk about things like simple as vacation. Well, do we consider where we're going to attend services at and things of that nature? And as a youth, and as high school age, junior high, whatever it may be, college, we need to make sure that we're always keeping God in our mind when we make any type of plan. And because any plan that we make and we don't include God, it's not going to be a very good plan. I've said before, any plan that leaves God out is one that should fail. And so we always want to remember God in our youth and all times, not just in our youth. And I have here, serving God is not just for the elderly. Now, I wrote this lesson years ago, and there are those who you kind of have both problems on both sides of the age spectrum here. You have those who are younger who think it's the older who need to take care of things, and you have those who are older who think, well, the young folks need to take care of things. I remember one time I asked him more than once if he would lead a prayer, just like that, and the service. And he said, "Well, you have these young people here; they can do it." And which was interesting, we really didn't have that many people there. And I really didn't see why he said that every single time I asked him, so we just stopped asking him. But anyway, I'm going to stop there, and Brother Zach had anything he'd like as we continue looking at this idea of remembering the Lord in your youth.
Well, you know, you have on here that, you know, serving God is not just for the elderly. And, you know, I appreciate that point so much because, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we focus on maybe older members and, you know, people of a certain age group. And we sometimes think that, you know, well, youth can't do certain things for God. But I'm reminded, and sure as well if you are, of several men in the Bible who were able to serve God in their youth. A couple that just come to mind, you know, I think about Josiah. You know, he was just 8 years old when he first came to the throne. And as he progresses in his maturity, as he progresses with his walk in Christ, he goes on to become one of the greatest kings that the southern kingdom of Judah ever had as far as walking in righteousness. And, you know, it's interesting. I'll give a little shameless plug here. I teach the books of Ezekiel and Daniel with OABS. And as you study the book of Daniel, Daniel's life is amazing to me because he's going to be one that is going to help others along the way. But when you study the life of Daniel, he would have been born when Josiah was king. And so there is Josiah, who was serving God from his youth, and the influence that he has on others eventually, like Daniel, who we'll look at later, who will have influence, you know, on others as well. And so just because someone is young does not mean that they cannot serve God. Just because someone is young does not mean that they can't obey God. You know, that there's this mindset that, you know, oh, you're just too young or you just don't understand. But we have examples of individuals who at a young age knew what they needed to be doing. And of course, no greater example in my mind is, you know, Jesus himself. You look there in Luke chapter number 2. And of course, here in Luke chapter number 2, this is when, of course, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they had to go to be taxed. And so Verse number 4, it says, they went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David. So they'd gone to Bethlehem there, verse number 4. And so they were going to be taxed. And of course, that's where Jesus is going to be born. But you get a little bit later in the chapter when Jesus is 12 years old. I'll get to the right verses here in a minute. And the point that I'll make, will make more sense. You get a little bit later when Jesus is 12 years old. They go back to Jerusalem. And of course, they're returning home, and Mary and Joseph, they don't know where Jesus is. And of course, they go back to Jerusalem and they find Jesus, and he's in the temple. You know, they're asking him, you know, verse number 48, they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now, notice Jesus's response at just 12 years old. How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? So even at 12 years old, Jesus understood that even in his youth, what could he do? He could still serve God. In verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So even as he grew in what would be considered youthful years, he was even growing in favor with God, which means even as a young age, he's able to serve God.
You know, that's, we think about that idea, and like you said, we have these examples, you know, like Christ, of course, like he said, being our greatest example of all, me being 12, Josiah being 8, and anything about others, we're so familiar with people like Joseph and Samuel and David and Solomon and Daniel and all these types of people who we think of as serving at various young ages in their life. And we think about also in the New Testament, you know, only with Christ being, Timothy is referred to as a young man, probably as young as we think. Some say he probably was in his 30s. I mean, depending who I'm around, I'm still called a young man by some people. I used to kind of get on my nerves a little bit, but now that I'm getting older, I don't mind when someone calls me a young man anymore. But in 2 Timothy 3, in backing up here to about verse 14, Paul here, when speaking to Timothy, says, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that from childhood you have known. And so that tells us that he began learning about God and the Bible and the Scriptures in general at a young age. He tells us also, Paul reveals also that it was Timothy's mother and grandmother who taught him, which is a good reminder of the older teaching the younger. But the point being there, I guess we've been making the point here, is that we find people young, those who are younger, learning to serve and then serving at a young age. Now, of course, we're not talking about children becoming junior elders or junior deacons, as we see sometimes in some various quote-unquote religious groups, but we do find these individuals serving and helping in different ways. You know, we see children sometimes serving in the sense, bringing up the elements of the Lord's table, up and preparing those things, helping clean the church building, helping their parents when they go and visit those who are sick or those who are struggling. And so the different ways in which children can be an encouragement. And we forget sometimes that when you go and visit someone, that having a child there with you, and unless that person's contagious or something of that nature, I wouldn't advise it then, but having younger people with you is encouragement to the older. And I think we sometimes forget that. You know, that's why I think a lot of times at funerals, you ever notice at funerals sometimes that in the passing of someone who was older, you'll notice the younger children getting a lot of hugs that day, because they are encouragement to those who are older and those who are facing different kinds of difficulties. And children are a service, not just by their presence, but also by their actions and by their words. And so we need to remember that we can be a great influence in the church, no matter what age we are, whether talking about younger or older. Serving God, as we have here also, will help you make the right choices. You know, we talk about Joseph a lot, and I was talking about this, not Joseph, but I was talking about how sometimes we label certain stories or accounts in the Bible, we call them children's stories, because we commonly reference them to children and talk with them about those things. We were talking about children. I was talking about Jonah the other day, and that's, you know, if you're looking at the book of Jonah, that is anything but a children's tale. That is a man, he has some serious issues. But if, for the sake of our time here this morning, if you look at Joseph there in Genesis 39 and verse 7, he was a man who is a great example to those who are younger. You know, and no doubt Jonah is as well. Example of some ways, you know, sometimes you have examples that are positive and some that are negative. We can say, okay, I see what they did here, and that's something I can model after. Or we also say, oh, see what they did here, and that's something I should not be doing. But Joseph in Genesis gives us several examples of how we should focus on what is important. And, it, you know, in Genesis chapter 39, verse 7 and following, talks about how a woman was longing after Joseph, and he had no right to have anything to do with her, and so he literally fled. And I think that's a good example for people of all ages, but commonly, I think of all ages, definitely, but I think sometimes, especially when those who are younger and they're, you know, talking to those of the opposite sex and considering dating and things, it's a good reminder to remember that there are certain situations you need to stay away from. And Joseph is one good example of that. Now I'm going to stop there and let Brother Zach add anything he'd like.
Yeah, you know, you talk about, you know, Joseph, and, you know, by the fact that he was able to serve God, you know, in his life, it helps him make correct choices. And again, my mind always goes back to Daniel. And I know sometimes when we think about Daniel, we don't often think about him as a young individual, and that would certainly be correct when you get to the later chapters of the book of Daniel, such as in Daniel chapter number 6. You know, when Daniel goes into the lion's den, he is a much older individual at that point. But when you consider how the book of Daniel opens in Daniel chapter number 1, as Nebuchadnezzar is coming against Jerusalem, you see there in Daniel chapter 1, in verse number 1, and then in verse number 3, the king spake and to the master of the eunuchs that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. And no, verse 4, it makes mention children. And so when he come, he goes and he's getting children. He's getting younger individuals. And of course, amongst that, you have verse number 6, you have Daniel, you have Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so these individuals are young. And yet, because they're young, teenagers, probably on the younger side of the teenage realm, notice what Daniel and even himself are able to do at such a young age. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself, because Daniel was already set on serving God. Even at a young age, it helps him make the correct choice. And again, with his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when you get over to Daniel chapter number 3, those three individuals are put into a situation where they have to choose, am I going to serve God or not? But because they've already made this decision, even at a young age, that they're going to serve God, they're able to make the right decision. You know, you brought up something a moment ago that I just want to add to. You know, sometimes children can help serve the Lord, sometimes in ways that we may not think about, but to them, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, at Olathe, we've got a couple of kids that at the end of Sunday evening service, they'll go grab the communion trays off the table, and they'll take them downstairs, and they'll throw them away, and they'll clean them up. And, you know, to me, as an adult, I understand that that's something that has to get done, but that's not on the top of my list of things to do, but those kids love it. And then I got to thinking back when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I did the same thing. I would go and would get those trays and would take them downstairs. And it's just the idea of serving God. And, you know, we as parents and grandparents and members of the church, when we see children wanting to serve God in that way, instead of discouraging it because, oh, they may drop the tray and spill the grape juice. Mm-hmm. No, we need to encourage it, because the grape juice can be cleaned up. But if you quench that fire for that child wanting to serve God, you may have trouble igniting it once again. And so we need to encourage the youth that want to serve God.
Yeah, and like you said, we may inadvertently definitely dampen someone's spirits or like you said, put out their fire at least for a time, but we're not careful. And I'm always glad, like you said, when we see children helping out in those ways, especially here in Chittenden, because that means I don't carry it downstairs, not because I'm unwilling to do so, but it's nice to see them do it. And if someone makes a mess, I don't want it to be me. the thing about Ecclesiastes here is we move on to our final point, looking at reflecting upon what is coming. We think about remembering our youth. Remembering God in our youth, we have to remember that we're not always going to be young. You know, I'm not an old guy yet, but it seems, I sound like one when I say it, it seems like yesterday I was only 15. But, you know, when you're younger, you look forward to certain ages in your life, and you look forward to becoming a teenager, then you look forward to becoming 16 so you can drive, or 15 here so that you can begin driving, which my daughter turns 15 tomorrow, terrifying. And then you look forward to what? Being 21. Well, to me, there's no real reason to worry about becoming 21 anymore. Because with 21, you can legally what? Well, drink or whatever. Well, who cares? That should be your attitude about it. But I think 25 is when, if you have no accidents, your insurance goes down. It used to be that way in Arkansas. I may be dating myself even more. So I look forward to that. And now I'm like, well, what do I look forward to now? I don't know. I have no idea what I look forward to. Because as far as, you know, certain ages go, you know, but because I don't look forward to becoming, you know, getting to 50 or whatever, because there are certain times now when you get to a certain age where you go to the doctor, you get certain, you know, tests done. And, you know, some of them I really don't look forward to at all. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 and going through verse 7, it talks about some difficult days that are ahead. That was said already back in chapter 11, verse 8. You know, there will be days in which little pleasure will be found, as referenced there in Ecclesiastes 12, and verse 1. He says, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And then you look at verses 3 through 7, where Solomon uses different figures to depict the body and age, in old age and death. And I'm going to read those because of time. If you look at Ecclesiastes 12, 3 through 7, it's not a pretty picture, so to speak. He talks about getting older and getting feeble, basically. He talks about how strong men bow down. They are what? They're leaning over. They're kind of hunched over now. They're in verse 3. Their grinders cease because they are few. Talking about your teeth. Your eyes getting to fail you. That is, through the windows grow dim. I guess I am going to talk about these. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. Talking about referencing to your hearing going. One rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the dollars of music are brought low. And almost anything will wake you up. Mm-hmm. My wife already does that, but she won't. She doesn't have to know that. Also, they are afraid of height and of tares in the way. And when the almond tree blossoms, a grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. Some of, again, natural things fading away. You know, the tares of the way and afraid of height. You know, people, older people, not trying to sound mean or anything, because this is not what I mean by that, but they move it slower. But I understand why, because if a person falls down and they get older, things do not heal like they used to. Okay. You know, here at Chittenden, we have stairs to go down to where we had our fellowship meal. Well, they're talking about now moving that over here to this building, because there are no stairs, and there's actually a ramp for those who maybe have a wheelchair or something. For the purpose, because it's easier to get in here and still be involved in that, and less chance of them getting hurt. Which is something we don't think a whole lot about when we're younger. But again, 3 through 7, it's all about, you know, time changes. And then we get down here to verse 7. He says, and then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Talking about the end of life, right? And we think, especially when we're younger, we think, boy, well, that's a long way off. We also have no idea. And so we have to remember God always. Remember Him in our plans. Remember Him in our daily life. And we want to make sure that we are always putting Him first, because time does not stop for anyone. It is very cruel in that way. So I'm going to let Brother Zach make any closing comments he'd like, and then we'll finish out for today.
Yeah, you know, the description that Solomon, you know, is giving there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you know, sometimes, you know, we read that, you know, I start thinking about it at, you know, my age, you know, when I was, you know, 18, that description may not have been as terrifying, but, you know, you get a little older and some of those things are like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, I reflect on my grandparents. I'm like, you know, I see that. I remember how they went through those things. But it's important to remember that Solomon is not pinning those things to scare us, to frighten us, but really to cause us to think, to cause us to reflect upon our lives. And I'm mindful of what Paul would write to Titus in Titus chapter number 2, specifically verses 6 through 8, as he talks about young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. And so Solomon is not writing these things to scare us or depress us, but to make sure that we understand where we are in our life. Mm-hmm. So we understand the seriousness of where we are with our life. And, you know, I would just add this because, you know, there are, you know, earlier we said, you know, serving God is not just for the elderly. But one thing we have to realize is sometimes it gets to the point where the elderly aren't able to do where that what they once were. There's a gentleman where we attend. I won't say his name. He probably won't ever listen to this. But years ago, he used to lead prayers. He used to wait on the Lord's table. He used to do a lot of things in service to God. He doesn't do those things anymore, not because he doesn't want to, but because he's afraid of falling while walking to the front. And, you know, he made a request, you know, some time ago, not that he doesn't want to serve God, but it's just his body does not allow him to serve God as it once did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to make sure that we give God everything we have while we can. Because I know of individuals, I'm sure as you do, that their physical health just simply will not allow them to do the things that they once were able to do. And so serve God while we can. And that's what I would say. Serve God while we can.
Yeah, and like you said there, you know, there's going to come a time where, you know, like the example you gave there, where we may physically be unable to do so. And so we definitely want to use all that we can. And you know, you close out the book of Ecclesiastes there in verses 12, or chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. You are to fear God and keep his commandments. And so that's another reason why we remember him in our youth. And one last little tidbit I have here on here is, you know, sometimes, especially when we're younger, but because this is a issue for people of all ages trying to impress certain people. But we have on here, 90% of high school friends will not be heard from again, so why bother impressing them? And I think that's right, because especially in high school and in college, we try to impress people. And nothing wrong with trying to make friends and things of that nature, but we want to make sure that God is at the forefront, because he's the one we want to have approve of our behavior, so I'm trying to say. And so let's remember that above all. So we do thank you for being here with us today. We hope you have been encouraged by our study together. We hope to see you again next time here on Coffee with Zach and Russ. We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.